Welcome to Dr. Red Says. Our show is all about taking charge of your mental, physical, and spiritual health. We'll answer your questions about the various healing modalities, and most of all, we're going to have some fun. Now, here's your host, Dr. Red.
Good afternoon, America. You know, we've been talking about the wonders of reshaping yourself, remaking yourself, redoing your body. And so we've been through ups and downs, literally, weight and personality and depression. And so right now we're in the segment where we've lost all that weight. Yay! So maybe you've lost 25, 35, 45, 100 and something pounds. And now we've got all this wonderful skin left over. You got enough skin on your arms that people are starting to call you Sugar Glider or Batman. And you've got enough skin on your legs that when you walk, people think you're clapping. So what do you do about that? It's kind of hard to get that off by exercise. Trust me, I know, because I've been there. I've been all the way thin, all the way huge, and all the way back. So sometimes you need a little help. And today we have an expert on that. We have Dr. Douglas Manasabian, who is from, I love this, Park Avenue Plastic Surgeons. That just sounds so elegant. Who is going to talk to us about plastic and reconstructive surgery and how much you can and cannot do with that. And maybe when you would and would not like to do that. So, Dr. Manasabian, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Dr. Red, for having me.
So how did you get into plastic surgery?
Well, I was always interested in medicine and surgery, and following medical school, I knew then I wanted to enter surgery, and because I've always loved working with my hands, and I entered medicine because I've always loved helping people. Plastic surgery seemed like a nice fit because it blends both the aesthetic and reconstructive aspects of surgery, which I thoroughly enjoy. Also, there's a lot of problem solving involved with plastic surgery. No two patients are alike, and no two patients present with the same condition and desires and needs for surgery. So all put together, it really is the one specialty for me that I thoroughly enjoy practicing for over the last 20-plus years and will thoroughly enjoy practicing until I retire.
Well, I have to ask, are you an artist?
Well, I do some, you know, doodling and dabbling on the side. I've not sold any artwork per se. I kind of leave my artwork on the operating room table, so to speak.
Well, because I have to ask, how can you guys do, I mean, that is really some precision artwork that you do. And so if you don't have an artistic bent, how do you know how to reconstruct things?
Well, I do have an artistic bent in that sense. Prior to medical school, I actually went to dental school, and I think that gave me an appreciation of a lot of facial aesthetics. And during my plastic surgery training, that was carried on to the breast and the rest of the body, and more work on the face. I've always been fascinated with art history and followed and studied many of the sculptors and painters over the last few centuries, and I incorporate that into my practice.
I imagine it's a little easier nowadays because you have the computers that can help you with a little bit of the geometry.
It helps, and I use computer imaging frequently to help predict what outcomes can be like. Also, it gives the patients somewhat of a representation of how they could look and appear after surgery.
Let me ask you about that because I do love to watch these shows. I'm just a glutton for these kinds of things. There's shows like Botched where people have been to the, you know, not the best plastic surgeons. I live near Tijuana, Mexico, so they run down there, get a cheap plastic surgery. Then they come back up here and have to have somebody fix it for them. So how many times can a person have plastic surgery before they're satisfied with their result?
Well, I mean, that's a difficult question to answer because, you know, getting into how satisfied a patient can be starts getting into the mind of a patient, and you will certainly have some patients that will never be happy, even though you could achieve a very satisfactory result medically and surgically, they just may not be happy. And often during my during my interviewing with the patient preoperatively, there are some red flags that would come up to alert me if this is going to be one of those patients that won't be happy with anything you do. In terms of the other question, how many surgeries can a patient have? There is really no finite limit depending on what needs to be done. It makes subsequent surgeries a little more difficult in that there's more scarring that's encountered, and sometimes your options are limited. And we see this often with breast surgeries. Every time you go in, there's more scar tissue. So I see it a lot with facial surgeries, doing rhinoplasties or facelifting. More scar tissue develops, and it makes subsequent surgeries a little more difficult and also makes the results a little more limited. But with respect to a body's ability to heal and recover from surgery, surgeries can be performed numerous times on a body part.
Well, that's good to know. Not that I'm planning on having it lifted forever, but so the joke is, you know, Joan Rivers, bless her heart, said that by the time she left, you know, her hip line was going to be up around her chin line. But can you continue to, if you're a movie star, can you just continue to have facelifts forever?
Well, yes, but you don't need facelifts, you know, forever. I mean, someone like Joan Rivers always claims she went in for tweaking, so to speak, every couple of years because they were just doing little minimal amounts of work every couple of years. Facelifting and other facial rejuvenating procedures last maybe on the average of 10 to 15 years. I like to say to my patients, we can turn back the aging clock, but I can't stop the aging clock. So
I wish.
Yeah, we wish we could. So maybe after 10 or 15 years, they will need to have that facelift again, or their eyelid lifts again. Some surgeries can last for life. If I put in a chin implant or perform a rhinoplasty, that's a procedure that can be for life. So some procedures like that do last for life. And also it depends on, you know, to what extent you're doing it. A breast reduction performed early in a woman's life, for instance, may be the only one they need. Whereas breast lifting, maybe breast may sag after pregnancy or with age, and they need to be lifted again. So it really depends on the surgery that's being performed, where on the body it's being performed, also on the patient's lifestyle and health. Facelifts can last 15 or 20 years in a very healthy person that avoids the sun, doesn't smoke, is in good health. However, some conditions and such speed up that aging process. So these are things that all come into play.
Yeah, well, that's one thing about it is if you don't smoke and drink, you've got at least a head start on that, I guess.
Absolutely.
So that's the other question is, we've been doing a series, and I just kind of met you at the end of the series. We were talking about body image in America, and it is brutal. So you have to be gorgeous and young-looking and thin and all of this. So it's leading to all kinds of disorders, body dysmorphic disorder and bulimia and anorexia and all kinds of hideous things. And then now I have people that are calling me up and say, do you think I could get a gastric bypass? And I say, what size are you? And they say 16. I go, are you kidding me? Size 16, they want a bypass already.
No, that's not, you know, for patients, you know, obesity, as you are well aware, is becoming an increasing problem in America. And there are certain criteria for patients to undergo gastric bypass surgeries. It may be based on a certain preoperative BMI or body mass index, which takes into account a patient's height and weight. But usually, these patients have to have very high BMIs to be considered for gastric bypass, and it may be at least a 100-pound over your ideal body weight. Less than that, good old diet and exercise is the first recommended treatment, and nothing is as healthy as doing it with good weight and exercise, a good diet modification and exercise, because you're also modifying the patient's health habits, and that is going to be a longer-lasting treatment. A lot of patients with gastric bypass, you know, they have the surgery, they'll lose the weight simply because maybe the size of their stomach is smaller, or parts of their digestive system is being rerouted. But these patients, you know, sometimes are bothered with nutritional deficiencies, and often they may even gain the weight back because the behavior hasn't changed. But with behavioral modification and diet and exercise, these patients can lose weight. I recommend my patients do that first. A safe weight loss is 10 to 12 pounds a month, and they can start losing and getting closer to their ideal body weight.
So is this a booming business back on the East Coast? I know here with Hollywood and all of the beaches, you can drive up and down we call them freeways out here, but you can drive up and down the freeways, and there's a billboard every 5 feet advertising bypass and all of the glamorous reconstructions. It's Hollywood, baby.
It's common here as well. There's a lot of bariatric surgeons. Those are the surgeons that perform that type of surgery. But it's a two-step process because that will only start their weight loss. But after the weight is lost and they've gotten closer to their ideal body weight and they've maintained that body weight, and if they're concerned with their body image because the skin hasn't retracted back like it should have or could have, that's when they come see me for plastic surgery and reconstructive surgery to improve their overall body appearance.
Yeah, I imagine we've got a couple minutes left before we go into the next segment that we're going to talk about, but I would imagine that at some point, and I don't know if there's an age limit on how old you can go with and having the bypass, that maybe you're not going to spring back after you lose the 100 pounds.
Well, there is limitations to what the skin will do. In terms of an age, it really just depends on the patient's health and the comfort level of that bariatric surgeon. But very often, if you are a candidate for that gastric bypass surgery and you're way above your ideal body weight, the amount of weight you're going to lose will almost always cause an excessive amount of skin after that weight loss. This is unlike a person losing 20 to 30 pounds where the skin will come back nicely. It just won't do it. It just won't do it. And it can affect almost every part of the male and female body.
Holy cow. Do you see many men?
Yes. Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. Men and
women. We don't think about that much. I'm addicted. I have been watching this show my 600-pound life.
Yes.
And they almost always have women. Once in a while, there'll be one or two guys. And they're very young. That's what we got. One more minute, and when we come back, we're going to talk about this. Who do you take and who do you not take? But that's amazing that they're always so young. So I want to talk about that when we come back. Who would be an ideal candidate, kind of how they got that way, and how, you know, what are the criteria to do this stuff? Because basically, if you're not a good candidate for the surgery, you're not going to do well when you come out. So
that's
when we come back,
true.
When we come back, we'll talk about what your criteria are for having the surgery.
Okay.
And we'll be right back with Dr. Douglas Manasabian. I'm sorry. And we'll be right back with Dr. Douglas Manasabian.
Become our friend on Facebook. Post your thoughts about our shows and network on our timeline. Visit facebook.com/Voice America.
The So Brave Foundation offers alternative care for veterans and their families who are struggling with PTSD and traumatic brain injuries. For Southern California residents and for those who will be in the area, we hold an open clinic once every month at the Veterans Memorial Museum in Balboa Park, San Diego, from noon to 4 p.m. on the second Saturday of each month. Appointments are not necessary, and these clinics are completely confidential. Visit SoBraveFoundation.org for more information about these clinics and our organization. We would love to have interested alternative and complementary care therapists join us. And anybody who loves veterans are invited to join us and volunteer their free time and resources. We are fully volunteer staffed and are a 501c3 organization. For more information about what we do and how you can help, please visit SoBraveFoundation.org. Once again, that's SoBraveFoundation.org.
Have you friended us on Facebook yet?
Why not?
Just go to facebook.com/Voice America or search for the keywords Voice America. Once you are part of our Facebook network, you'll receive daily messages about what's happening with our shows, this week's featured guests, and new happenings at the Voice America Talk Radio Network. And you can add your voice to the always active discussions on our timeline. Just go to facebook.com/Voice America or search for Voice America.
You are listening to Dr. Red Says. If you have a question or comment about the show today, we invite you to call into the program at 1-888-346-9141. That's 1-888-346-9141. You may also send an email to drredsays@gmail.com. Now, back to the show.
And we're back with Dr. Douglas Manasabian of Park Avenue Plastic Surgeons. I just love that. That just sounds so rich. And you know, you can never be too rich or too thin, or so they say. You know, they used to be you live fast, die young, and have a good-looking corpse. Now it's live fast, don't die young, and have a good-looking corpse. So let me ask you, do you ever decline a patient's request for surgery? Because, I mean, they have shows on TV where people have had, you know, 15 surgeries.
Yes. Well, you're talking about the bariatric patient or any patient for plastic surgery?
Well, either, because after a while we're going to go out of the bariatric section. But I would imagine that someone who's been fat, and if they've been fat all their lives, they're going to really want to go for perfection because they never have been before.
Well, yeah, yes. I mean, here at Park Avenue Plastic Surgery, we do either defer or just say no to patients. And with respect to the bariatric patient, certainly if they come to be initially very obese, the first thing I say, you know, is obviously they do need to lose weight. And I recommend, there's a lot of good medical professionals I work with here in New York City to help them with a physician-supervised weight loss. And it may just be with diet and exercise, or maybe it will be with bariatric surgery. With bariatric surgery, these people are about to undertake a very involved surgery with some potential risks, and they undergo a lot of counseling prior to that. My role in their overall well-being would be after the surgery and after the subsequent weight loss. That's when I would get involved as a plastic surgeon. With respect to other patients wanting aesthetic surgery, cosmetic surgery, or elective surgery, I do, during my consultation, see what their desires and wishes are for the procedure. And if I feel it's an unexpected or unrealistic expectation, I will say no to them. Or if they want something that I just don't perform, if they want, if a woman wants a certain procedure which I don't think would look good on her, or I don't think is medically sound, I will tell her that's fine. I don't perform that surgery, and I would say no to that patient. So I have said no to patients. Yes.
Yeah, I kind of wonder because sometimes, and I don't know that it's just people in the entertainment industry, but people will get this unrealistic idea of what they want. And I honestly don't know, I don't want to embarrass you at this point, but I don't know why women want such huge, humongous tops, because I've got one and I'm not that fond of it. It's uncomfortable.
Yeah.
You know, it's hard to buy clothes.
And the problem is with an unrealistic expectation, if I know in my heart that I'm not going to achieve that because I don't think it's the proper thing to do or the medically prudent thing to do, then they'll be unhappy with the result, and I don't want that either for them. So I would rather just bow out after the consultation and leave it like that. And that's why, you know, my patients are happy with my work and the work we do here at Park Avenue Plastic Surgery.
This may be a little I don't know, insensitive, but does if you have someone who was not endowed and you do a boob job, does that last your whole life or does that have to be revised at some point?
Breast implants themselves can last many, many years. There are certain recommendations by the implant manufacturers with respect to radiographic follow-up and surveillance for the lifetime of the implant. And we go over all of those recommendations and surveillance issues with the patient at the pre-op visit and then during, you know, post-operative visits.
Wow. Okay, that's good to know. I mean, the only problem I had, I did gain the weight. I had brain cancer and I was paralyzed for a really long time and gained a lot of weight. Now I've lost it all, and that's the only problem. Everything's fine now except that they hang down to my waist. So if I don't wear a bra, my waist is like 6 inches bigger than it should be.
Well, a bra lift can't help with that. A breast lift can help with that. I'm sorry.
I don't want to mess with those puppies. I mean, I've had a lot of surgery, especially from having been paralyzed and a few other things. I've had something like 30 procedures, not because I'm vain, but because I've had to. So
sure.
since a boob lift is not something you have to, I'm going to let it go. But I do have to, you know, have a crane to lift these guys up in the morning. And that kind of is a pain in the patoot. So people have asked me that. Why don't you get them done? And my sister-in-law, who has had breast cancer, said, you don't want to mess with those things if you don't want to. And I said, okay. So I wonder, because a lot of programs make it seem so glamorous. Just pop into the office. They'll make a new set of, you know, they'll make you a new top in the afternoon, and you'll just run right back out and just be bouncing away the next week. No, it's not that easy.
Hmm. True.
It may be relatively, you know, comfortable, but it's not that easy to just go get a whole new top.
No, and, you know, like with any surgery, there is work involved preoperatively and postoperatively. There's the recovery. And all surgery, you know, comes with a certain amount of recovery. So, you know, it's not to be taken lightly. And, you know, we go over that in detail during our consultations.
That's good, because I think as long as people know what to expect, they will go ahead and do it. But if they don't, and then something happens, then they're very disappointed with you. And that's a shame.
Absolutely. And that goes back to what I was mentioning before about expectations. I don't want patients being unhappy with me after a procedure. So I go into a lot of detail with them, realistic expectations, realistic you know, recovery issues. And that's what makes for happy patients. And that's why our patients are happy here.
Well, that's great. I'd love to come out and visit you. Of course, you can always come out to sunny San Diego and frolic in the bay with us.
Well, you are welcome to come here anytime.
The last time I was out in New York, and this is interesting, was to do a show about plastic surgery, believe it or not, when Sally Jesse Raphael had her talk
sure.
show on TV.
Sure.
There was a plastic surgeon here, and he said he was board certified, and I do want to make sure that this gets in, because I looked you up first. He said he was board certified, and he had a really neat name that everybody recognizes around here. And he was doing, this was a while back, so the liposuction and stuff was still fairly new. He was doing procedures and things on people, and they were not turning out well. And as it turns out, the guy was not really, he was a doctor, but he was not really board certified in plastic surgery.
I think that's important that, you know your plastic surgeon is board certified and board certified by the American Board of Plastic Surgery. That is the one officiating agency for plastic surgeons in the United States, the American Board of Plastic Surgery.
Yes.
And you can just go to their website and you can see within a minute if your surgeon is board certified by them.
Yes, and so I really look to find you, because you need somebody with the credentials. And then also, if you're going to have the surgery yourself, if a doctor will not maybe give you one or two references, maybe you should look elsewhere, because that's kind of scary.
Sure.
So this guy, he had like 33 malpractice suits against him. Ouch. So this is not someone you want to go to and have your stomach sucked out. This is not a good idea. So it was quite a case, and so we came out and we did the Sally Jesse show. So I had a radio show back in those days. This is in the 80s, and so he wanted to trade me tummy sucking for paying to be on my show, and he did. So my tummy was on national TV. Wow.
Oh.
Yeah, I will never do that again. Fortunately, I've recovered.
Mm-hmm.
But I have learned a lot about the credentialing process since then.
Sure.
Seriously learned a lot about the credentialing process. Just don't believe the diploma on the wall.
It is an exhaustive process to get credentialed by them, and there is even a recertification that's required. So it doesn't end after your residency or getting initially board certified. It's a continual process every year with continuing medical education, attendance at conferences, and examinations.
That's good to know because, you know, these new things keep coming up, I hear that, you know, sometimes the guy who demonstrates the machine can go in there and do the surgery. And I'm going, no. I want whoever's going to do my procedure to actually be the doctor who's gone and taken training and is certified to do that, not the guy who made the machine.
Right.
That's
absolutely
that's scary.
Absolutely.
So do you do yours in the hospital or in a surgical center?
I do my surgeries either in the hospital or accredited office-based surgical facility right here. We use board-certified anesthesiologists, and our facility is also accredited by the Joint Commission, which is a national accrediting organization, because we want to make sure that all our patients have surgery provided in the safest manner.
That's terrific. So if there is an emergency, you're set up, ready to go. No worries about that. It's not, you know, going in the office like, no offense to the dentist, but it's not like going to the dentist.
Right. We can handle anything should that arise here, and that's part of the accreditation process.
That's great. I have to say that of all the surgeries that I have had in different hospitals, I'm an Army brat and a Navy wife all over the world. My plastic surgeon's center here was the most wonderful place I've ever been. It was like Disneyland. I stayed overnight, and they took such good care of me. Oh,
good to hear. That's good to hear.
Yeah, I think they err on the side of perfection just because people are afraid to go there unless everything is absolutely checked off.
You're dealing with a human being, and there's just no room for error.
Thank goodness. And I love your page. I love everything about it. I think everybody should check you out if they're in that area. And maybe you can even, I don't want to take all my West Coast people all the way to New York, but if you're in the middle, you should definitely go check out Park Avenue Plastic Surgeons because they are incredible. When we come back, we're going to talk about reconstructive surgery because, you know, we don't just make people beautiful. There are other things you can do with plastic surgery. So when we come back do people call you Dr. M, Dr. Doug, or do they just do the whole name?
I've been called Dr. M, I've been called Dr. Doug. Little kids will call me Dr. Doug. I've been called anything, and it's all fine.
Okay, I'm Dr. Red. Which one would you like to be?
You could say Dr. M is fine, Dr. Montesabian. Either one is fine.
Okay, well, we'll be right back with Dr. M, and we'll talk about reconstructive surgery.
Become our friend on Facebook. Post your thoughts about our shows and network on our timeline. Visit facebook.com/Voice America.
The So Brave Foundation offers alternative care for veterans and their families who are struggling with PTSD and traumatic brain injuries. For Southern California residents and for those who will be in the area, we hold an open clinic once every month at the Veterans Memorial Museum in Balboa Park, San Diego, from noon to 4 p.m. on the second Saturday of each month. Appointments are not necessary, and these clinics are completely confidential. Visit SoBraveFoundation.org for more information about these clinics and our organization. We would love to have interested alternative and complementary care therapists join us. And anybody who loves veterans are invited to join us and volunteer their free time and resources. We are fully volunteer staffed and are a 501c3 organization. For more information about what we do and how you can help, please visit SoBraveFoundation.org. Once again, that's SoBraveFoundation.org.
Have you friended us on Facebook yet?
Why not?
Just go to facebook.com/Voice America or search for the keywords Voice America. Once you are part of our Facebook network, you'll receive daily messages about what's happening with our shows, this week's featured guests, and new happenings at the Voice America Talk Radio Network. And you can add your voice to the always active discussions on our timeline. Just go to facebook.com/Voice America or search for Voice America.
You are listening to Dr. Red Says. If you have a question or comment about the show today, we invite you to call into the program at 1-888-346-9141. That's 1-888-346-9141. You may also send an email to drredsays@gmail.com. Now, back to the show.
And we're back with Dr. M, because that's a lot easier to say. Of Park Avenue Plastic Surgery, and we are talking about your body, the body beautiful. And your body is beautiful, by the way, no matter what shape, size, tall, you know, short, whatever. And this is the purpose of this show, is to say you need to love your body. And so we're not here saying y'all need to run out and become Barbie, because I saw a show on this lady who spent, I think, $150,000 trying to make herself look like Barbie. She looked better before, people. But the wonderful thing about the practice of plastic surgery is that when there is an accident or an illness that causes some deformation or a birth defect, these guys are magicians. They can fix you. That's wonderful. So, we haven't talked about that yet. How much of your practice do you do in reconstructive surgery?
Maybe about 30 or 40% is reconstruction, and that could be reconstruction on the face, breast, or body.
Wow. Okay. Do you guys ever do, like down here, because we're near Mexico, they go down to Mexico and they do some charity work with the Mexican children, and they do a lot of cleft lip. And cleft lip is just, I don't know why it's so rampant down in Mexico, but the changes are amazing, because the poor kids couldn't eat, they couldn't breathe, and you do that one surgery and they're well and they look decent and they're happy.
Yes, that's certainly true, and that's one of the most rewarding facial reconstructive procedures, cleft lip repair, usually done at about 3 months of age. And, this is, because not only, as you mentioned, the speech issues and the eating issues and the breathing issues, but all the social ramifications when the parents see their child with a cleft lip, it's very, it could be very troubling to them. And the surgery, which can take under a half an hour, is remarkable in what it can do for a child and for the lives of the parents.
It's that small a surgery? I mean, that short a surgery? I thought it was longer and more involved than
that.
No,
it can take maybe up to an hour sometimes, but it involves basically just doing some rotational flaps on the upper lip and then, reapproximating the tissues of the lip, the skin, the muscle, and the mucosa to form that lip again. It's usually requires other procedures as the child grows up. Sometimes the palate is involved, the nose may be involved, the upper jaw, the teeth. There are other tissues involved. So very often a cleft lip patient may actually be having surgeries through their teenage years, because
wow.
numerous surgeries are involved. Because once there's a defect in the formation of the upper jaw and the lip and the teeth, and as the child grows, they often need a lot of care. And these children are usually managed in a center or a big hospital that has a lot of teams involved on a so-called cleft lip and palate team.
Yeah, we have a thing called the smile train here, and the dentists and the doctors go down and do regular visits with orphanages here, and it's very nice.
No, I'm actually involved with the Smile Train. I'll be running.
Ah.
I'm involved with the Smile Train, so I'm well aware of that organization.
Oh, bless your heart! That really, I mean, it seems like so little to us, but to a kid in an orphanage that wants to try and make a life for himself, that's a lot.
Sure, absolutely.
I mean, that may that may be the difference between staying there and actually getting out and doing something. So that's amazing. Let me ask you about some of these things that are going on now. We've got this good old flesh-eating virus running around, hopefully not too much. Can you catch that and do skin grafts and replace skin from that?
Well, sure. Well, you know, as with any illness that affects the body, whether it be illness from an infection or maybe a traumatic injury, reconstruction is usually performed when the disease or the infection is under control. You don't want to certainly do any operation or involve procedure if the ongoing disease process is still occurring. But once it's stabilized, you know, the infection is under control or the illness is under control, or maybe you've resected all the cancer and you're just left with a, you know, stable, static wound or deficiency of tissue, then the role of the plastic surgeon comes into play. And whatever is needed, whether it's skin, muscle, bone, tendon, whatever tissue is needed, plastic surgeons can often replace. I mean, certainly over the last few years, you've seen complete faces being replaced back on, including the skin, tissue, you know, bones, teeth, nose. I mean, it's remarkable what's being done now, which this is leaps and bounds of what was done just a mere 10, 15, 20 years ago. So all these tissues can be restored and any part of the body.
So when you do put a new face on, which is, this is such science fiction, you know, you can get a new face and be someone else. But when you do that, are you grafting muscles to muscles so that they can move their face?
Well, you know, in these full face transplants that have been done over the last, you know, 5-10 years, different parts of the face in part or in total were replanted. And yes, it often included the skin, muscle, nerves, bones, with all the arteries and veins being reattached. And the nerves have to regenerate and wake up again, but they are then able to move the muscles of the face and all that. Initially, there's not going to be much movement of the face, but if you were to look at these patients that they've worked on, and I don't do this myself, these are done in bigger centers, but if you look at these patients before compared to afterwards, I'd say it is certainly a worthwhile procedure.
Well, I'm kind of wondering about this because it would be nice if we got out of these conflicts. We're not allowed to say war. I'm an Army brat, a Navy wife, and a Navy mother, and I don't like my family being in wars. But now they're playing with these IEDs instead of playing fair, where they used to run at each other and shoot with a gun, bang. They're throwing these explosive devices everywhere, mm-hmm. and people are just getting shredded.
Sure.
So are you seeing a lot of reconstructive things that are coming back from we see in the sandbox?
No, I'm not seeing those. Those are probably going to be done either more in the countries which they occurred, or maybe in VAs here. When I was doing my residency, I was affiliated with a VA, and we had done some reconstructive work there like that. What I would see here are the types of accidents and trauma that you would expect in a big city, such as motor vehicle accidents, bicycle accidents, accidents of that sort, rather than these high explosive, higher impact type injuries.
I don't want to ask about motor vehicle accidents around New York. Every time I see a picture of New York, it's gridlock. So I don't know how you guys...
But they certainly occur. Bicycle accidents can be very bad as well. I've had, I've treated lots of patients that have, flipped on bicycles and sustained fractures of their facial bones, lacerations, things like that.
Wow. So now, in your center, you have a team so that if somebody needed their entire body worked on from one end to the other, you have a team that covers that?
Well, in my office, no, but I would, if it's a more involved procedure or a patient with injury affecting more parts of their body, I'm affiliated with hospitals where I could then call upon my surgical and medical colleagues to assist me with the overall care of the patient.
Oh, okay. So do you, when you do this, I guess just for a facelift, it's not that urgent, but for something more traumatic, say somebody who was in a motorcycle accident, and that might be a little more traumatic. Do you work as a team when you're doing the reconstruction, and maybe have a psychologist and their primary doctor? Do you work as a team?
Well, yeah. I mean, so something, let's say like a facelift, that would be done usually in my office, and just with myself being primarily involved. If, let's say, someone were, let's say, riding a motorcycle and got into a bad accident and sustained, let's say, a lot of facial trauma, maybe broke their legs and lost a lot of skin from their legs, these people would be managed in the hospital. Orthopedic surgeons would be involved, plastic surgeons would be involved, maybe even vascular surgeons if there were blood flow problems or problems such as that to occur. And you would call other specialists in as well. These patients, often require hospitalizations, maybe some wound care, maybe trips back to the operating room to work on other things. So there's a lot of teams that are involved, and we all work together for the benefit of the patient.
That's good to know. And, I never had anything quite that ongoing, even with my brain tumor. They pretty much took that out. I did a few weeks of physical therapy, and they said, well, you're going to stay blind and paralyzed, and I didn't like that, so I kind of healed myself.
Sure.
That's a whole other story, but it is why I'm on the air doing these shows. I love MDs. I call the MDs the mechanical doctors, because you can do everything mechanically that there is possible to do, and it is a work of art doing these things that we can't. I am a therapist, and I do all the metaphysical things that I cannot do that you can. So I am part of the team, but not the part that does all the squishy, scary stuff.
All right. Well, we need people like you as we need people like me.
Yeah, because actually, if you don't believe you're going to heal, you're not going to heal, unfortunately. There's an awful lot to be said for the mind, body, and spirit. And so when we come back, we're going to talk a little bit about the spirit. So we will be right back with Dr. M from Park Avenue Plastic Surgery in New York.
Become our friend on Facebook. Post your thoughts about our shows and network on our timeline. Visit facebook.com/Voice America.
The So Brave Foundation offers alternative care for veterans and their families who are struggling with PTSD and traumatic brain injuries. For Southern California residents and for those who will be in the area, we hold an open clinic once every month at the Veterans Memorial Museum in Balboa Park, San Diego, from noon to 4 p.m. on the second Saturday of each month. Appointments are not necessary, and these clinics are completely confidential. Visit SoBraveFoundation.org for more information about these clinics and our organization. We would love to have interested alternative and complementary care therapists join us. And anybody who loves veterans are invited to join us and volunteer their free time and resources. We are fully volunteer staffed and are a 501c3 organization. For more information about what we do and how you can help, please visit SoBraveFoundation.org. Once again, that's SoBraveFoundation.org.
Have you friended us on Facebook yet?
Why not?
Just go to Facebook.com/Voice America or search for the keywords Voice America. Once you are part of our Facebook network, you'll receive daily messages about what's happening with our shows, this week's featured guests, and new happenings at the Voice America Talk Radio Network. And you can add your voice to the always active discussions on our timeline. Just go to Facebook.com/Voice America or search for Voice America.
You are listening to Dr. Red Says. If you have a question or comment about the show today, we invite you to call into the program at 1-888-346-9141. That's 1-888-346-9141. You may also send an email to drredsays@gmail.com. Now, back to the show.
And we're back with Dr. M of Park Avenue Plastic Surgery, and we've been talking about surgery and doctors, and I love the doctors, and I hope I didn't insult you because I called you a mechanical doctor, but cotton picking, if I break a bone, I'm coming to you.
No offense taken, Dr. Red.
Definitely, because they took out my brain tumor, otherwise I wouldn't be here. And everyone, shout out to Senator McCain, because he has my glioma. And that glioma took out Teddy Kennedy, and it took out Bo Biden, but it didn't take out me, and I hope it does not take out Senator McCain.
That's a nasty
tumor. So I found that when they found mine, it was 1988, they didn't really know what to do with that thing, and they didn't know treatments, and so I kind of had to learn to do stuff myself. And so I am a metaphysician, and I have a couple of doctorates and stuff that let you do all these different wonderful modalities that are metaphysical. And so one of the things that I do is angel healing and crystal healing. And crystal healing is kind of like an MRI, but just with stones. But each week we do a crystal healing card with an angel on it. And so this week I spread them all out, you know, like you're shuffling a deck, and I pick one. And I never know what they're going to be. And the angels, they're so accurate. I don't know what they're going to pick. But this one they picked today was chrysocolla. I don't know if you know that stone. Chrysocolla, it's a beautiful stone. And it says, are you dealing with inflamed or an unbalanced situation? Do you have imbalances in your body? Balance your emotions through healthy journaling, exercise, and healthy communication. Take care of your body, mind, and spirit. Yoga and meditation are beneficial. And then on the back, they always tell you which angel sent you that card, and they give you affirmations. And I always say each one three times. Sorry, pardon my throat here. So this is the angel of balance. My body is healthy and in balance. My cells naturally regenerate and rejuvenate themselves so that all of my systems function harmoniously. I am calm and relaxed. I exercise regularly. I enjoy my meditation, and I practice on a regular basis. So that's our card for this week.
Sounds good.
Yeah, they always know which one to pick. So now that we've been all nice and mellow and we're all happy, here comes the next regular segment. What makes you see red and get so angry that you blow smoke out your ears? Dr. M, do you have a really big gripe?
Well, within the practice of plastic surgery or outside?
Well, anywhere. We have a contest every week, and then the person who wins the best rant of the month gets a Dr. Red wig, so you can put it on and look like me, and then you
can
just rant.
What really infuriates me, as well as my office staff, is dealing with insurance companies who they put their needs ahead of patients, and think that everything a plastic surgeon does is cosmetic and elective and not medically necessary, and often that cannot be further from the truth. And we spend hours and hours with these companies. And it's, we're not speaking to the same person, and it can be very frustrating. So I think that's one thing that really gets not only me, but my office manager quite upset at times, is dealing with these companies. That's certainly towards the top of the list.
Well, being on the receiving end, now, because of my paralysis and a few other things, they decided it was medically necessary for me to get this weight off that they gave me with all the Decadron and other good things. So, it was 150 pounds I needed to lose. My insurance paid for it. Was TRICARE and Medicare. So they paid for that. No problem. It cost me $25 to have a bypass, and it worked like a charm because I was never an overeater. So no problem. Yeah, well, then I needed the skin revision. They won't pay for that. And they said, look, she's still paralyzed. She still can't do anything with all this skin everywhere. It's really difficult now. That's even worse than being fat. And they said, too bad. And the doctors wrote letters. They said, this is a medical necessity. And insurance said, too bad. So it was necessary to get the weight off. But they did not think it was necessary to fix the problem. So I paid $45,000 to get that skin revised.
Well, yeah, I mean, and again, a lot of times it will depend on the specific carrier. It also depends on how much skin there is, where the skin is, and if there's other problems that arise. We've had some patients that they've got fungal infections growing underneath the skin folds and in the skin folds, and they can't keep the area clean, and odors start arising and fungi start growing, and these are patients that, you know, really need that surgery, or there's excessive weight from hanging this around, or they just can't keep the area clean, and it poses serious hygienic problems. These are the things rather that make the case for a medical necessity.
Do you actually get some approved?
Yes, we do. We do.
Good for you. I'm glad to hear that, because I'm just still infuriated. Mine was a medical necessity. There were things I couldn't do with only one hand that works. I mean, the other hand is there. It just doesn't do much. And they said that's not necessary. You know.
It depends on the carrier. Often, if they've approved the gastric bypass surgery, they will approve the skin reduction surgery and body contouring procedures afterwards. Our society makes clear a distinction between, you know, cosmetic surgery and reconstructive surgery. Cosmetic surgery they define as enhancing the normal, whereas reconstructive surgery, we're just trying to restore normal. We're just trying to restore these people back to where they should be. We're not trying to enhance. And I think if you keep those simple definitions in mind, it makes it very clear where the American Society of Plastic Surgeons stand on this.
Oh, this is a good place to stop, because you are so wonderful and you do so many things. What I'd like to ask you to do is come back and talk more about plastic surgery, where you can plan some things that you want to talk about, and come back and tell me.
I'd be happy to do that, Dr. Ed.
That would be wonderful. So, since we have to get out of here, I want to remind everyone, because you can win a wig if you have the rant of the month. So you have to have the most outrageous rant, put it on my page, or email me, or give me a call, and you win a Dr. Red wig, and then you can look like me and blow smoke out your ears. But I want to remind everybody that it is okay to flip your wig. It is not okay to lose your mind. So be careful out there, you guys. The purpose of ranting is to get it off your chest and then let it go. And we will see you next week. We will be talking about, Dr. M is a fellow Mensen. This is so cool. We'll see you next week when we have a fellow Mensen who's going to come on and teach you how to keep your mind in shape. Because now that we have these gorgeous bodies, you know, the myth of the dumb blonde, it's not that far off. We're not educating our kids anymore. That's bad. So we're going to have somebody on to talk about how to keep your mind fit. And so we will have a great time with that. And do please come back, Dr. M. We had a great time with you, and I would love to have you come back again and talk about subjects of your choice.
I had a great time with you, Dr. Red, as well. And thank you so much for having me on.
And you're welcome. And everything about Dr. M will be on our site, so you can get hold of him and go see beautiful New York and make yourself beautiful at the same time. We'll see you next week at the Dr. Red Says Show.
Thanks for tuning in this week to Dr. Red Says. Please join Dr. Sarah Young, a.k.a. Dr. Red, again next Tuesday at 4 p.m. Eastern Time and 1 p.m. Pacific Time on the Voice America Empowerment Channel. In the next week, laugh in the face of adversity and move forward.